Welcome to the Quest of Fishing Adventures podcast, Chapter 4. Welcome back to another Quest Fishing Adventures podcast. You join me today back on Lily's Lake at last. It's a Saturday. In fact, it's Saturday morning. The time now is 10:39. I'm just waiting for Alex outside Harefield Tackle. Decent tackle shop if you've not been there before. He wants to go in there and get some maggots. I want to buy another bucket. He keeps taking the mick out of me because I keep buying buckets. But I like buckets. They're good to store things in. No, I just want a little bucket I can put some cell boilies in prep for the close season when I'm going to have to fish another lake, which we'll talk about that, obviously, in a few podcasts later on down the road. So the weather has warmed up today. It's proper overcast today. It's nice and, well, it's nice and warm. It's a lot warmer than what it has been. So in my opinion, it's nice and warm. So it's looking like, we're on the turn of the weather now, which is really exciting. So hopefully we're going to be focusing more on Lily's Lake in our overnight sessions in the week. We're doing the night tonight. Me and Alex are doing the night tonight. I am potentially going to go back to Atkins Lake to finish off the podcast I started in the week. But you'd already know that by now if you've listened to my last podcast, because that will already be out by the time you listen to that. So let's not talk about that. Let's talk about this session. So yeah, I'm just waiting for Alex now. We're going to go down Lily's Lake. We're going to have a walk round. So we're going to go to Harefield Tackle, park down at Lily's Lake when we get there, have a walk round there and see what's going on, see what swims we fancy, and we'll go from there. And I think we're planning to stay to, well, tomorrow at some point, but time will tell. So anyway, I just wanted to start the podcast now. That was a bit of a randomy one, wasn't it? I do a lot of random, but hey-ho. So yeah. Let's catch you bankside. Right, so we're here, we've had a little look round and we decided to go on the other side of the lake, and one of the main reasons for that is the wind's blowing down this direction, and it just feels proper carpy today with this wind down here. So we decided to go over here. So the time now is 12:30. So I've got in a swim here, but I fished before a few times. I've probably done about 3 nights in this swim, like last year. It was that really weedy one, saying that this end of the lake does get really weedy, so they're all really weedy. I've got a big overhanging tree to the right. I've got overhanging tree to the left, like slightly out a little bit, and then just past that is where those lily pads were last year. You can kind of see where you can kind of see where they were. Sort of, there's still sort of some-ish there now. I've put the marker out to the left, so I'm just going to do that swim first of all. Had a little feel around, I'm not getting caught up in anything. There's a few little gravel, little patches there. So I just want to put the deep right now, just to see what I can find, see if any drop-offs or anything like that, see what it looks like on there. So I'm going to have a look now, and I shall come back to you. Right, so I think I've got my left and right swims sorted out, using the deeper and the marker rod. So my left-hand side rod's going to go near the lily pads, and basically it's around about three and a half foot. Something like that. It sort of goes up and down a bit, and it really starts to come up as it comes in towards me round about there. So I'm going to put it there because I figure that's a good spot. And then to the right of me, we've got that overhanging tree to the right there. It's about five and a half foot deep. Sort of, you know, it jigs around a little bit around there, drops off to around about six-ish, but then really plateaus up not far off that. So I'm actually going to fish off the drop off where it comes out, where it literally comes down there. So I'm going to put one spot there, and now I'm going to get the marker rod out and see what I can find out in front of me, what distance, not too far, a bit out in front of me, so I can find any gravel or anything like that. So yeah, there's a little bit of an update. Right, there's copious amounts of blanket weed all in front of me, and it's just unfishable. So I brought it in as close as I can, which is probably about four rod lengths out in front of me, or to the left a little bit. I found a spot there. It's 5.3 deep on the deeper. It's silty, can't find any gravel anything, to be fair.
So I'm going to fish on top of that and see what happens. Not really with a lot of choice. Really struggling to find a spot. I'm going to go with that, definitely. So let's get it all ready. Weather's looking proper moody. I think it's about to rain as well. Just got my three rods out, so let's quickly go through this. I need to set my bivvy up. Left-hand side rod on the lilies. We've got a pop-up bit of sweet corn on that. Dropped over on the bushwhacker with sweet corn and some pellets on that one. A few pellets. One in front. We've gone with a pop-up DNA SLK with pellet, crushed DNA krill, crushed DNA. Oh my god, SLK boilies, some whole DNA SLK boilies, and some whole sticky krill boilies, and some crushed up sticky krill boilies in that. Oh, that's out in front. The one to the right, literally, we got a pop-up sweet corn on that, and sweet corn, bushwhacker out, no pellet on that one. So they're all slightly different. Fingers crossed it's going to happen. I think it's going to piss it down. Let's get the bivvy up. Hopefully we're going to get a carp.
Well, Alex just had a mad old pickup and we got really, really excited, thinking, oh, it's a fish, it's a fish, it's a fish. It was going beep, 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 beep. And then it dropped back down. And then we was looking over there thinking, what's going on? And then we saw a bird come up. So a bird picked it up. We were absolutely gutted. We both got super excited thinking it was a fish. Honestly, oh, so annoying.
So, Alex, the time now is 5 minutes past nine. For such carpy weather today, our hopes are up a little bit more than what they were with this previous weather that we've had. It's forced us on to Atkins Lake, as you know. You've joined me a few times.
Lilies?
On there. No. Atkins Lake is where, oh, where we've been fishing.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah,
sorry, yeah. So we're back here again as the podcast now already. But I just thought it'd be the right time now for you to talk to everyone listening right now. What just happened? So what just happened, Alex?
Are we starting from the beginning?
Well, yeah, start from the beginning, yeah.
So obviously we come on a almost 24-hour session.
Mm-hmm.
We've come into a newish part of the lake that we've not really fished.
Yep.
We've walked around plenty of times, but seen people fishing. Found, after 2.5 hours of casting around, trying to find some sort of clear spot or hard spot, I found a nice patch of gravel, 19.5 wraps, and put a bit of bait on it, a bit of a winter mix, a bit of crushed boilie, some pellets, mm-hmm. some salt, some maggots in there.
Yeah, it's interesting you've gone to the maggots, yeah.
Yeah, some whole boilies in there as well. Spotted out probably 7 to 8, maybe 9 spoms. Not the most accurate I've ever done in my life, with a nice wind that's sort of coming in my face and sideways. An absolute pain in the arse. But yeah, we've got some bait out there. We're just chilling out, we'll be having a chat, and I've had a couple of bleeps on the middle rod. And then we just had a carrot and a chat, and another, what, couple of hours went past. I said to you, didn't I? I said, oh, it seems good that it's almost like a line bite. It seems a bit. And then up goes the bobbin, a few bleeps. Few more bleeps.
Yeah, we look at it.
I'm looking at it, and I'm like, "Go on then." And then the reel starts turning, and I'm like, "Yes, strike into it." And then just reel it in. Nothing. It's almost like it was just a phantom.
Phantom.
It's a ghost fish.
Yeah,
it's. You know, it's, maybe it was that ghost koi.
It could well be, mate. It's.
But yeah. But anyway, that's the long story.
So
I'm literally pulling my fucking hair out. Yeah.
And there's not a lot of that to pull out.
Thanks. You know, it's my dad's fault.
So where does it leave you now? I mean, what are your thoughts? I mean, obviously you've put it back out now. You sharpened the hook up. You've put it out. It's dark. I'm talking over you now. Where does it leave you now?
That spot out there is probably no bigger than a bath.
Yeah.
Is it? The size of a bath.
Exactly.
It's not very big. So trying to get that back out, 19.5 wraps with the crosswind.
Mm-hmm.
Even I've got two rods on it as well, so I've got one on the right hand side of it that cracked down lovely, and then obviously this one was not quite on the gravel, I don't think, when I had that mm-hmm. pickup. So
Is there any particular reason why you've not recasted it, or what's your force?
Well, I've recast it to the same area where the spodding has gone, so it's hit the clip, it's out there, it's thumped down. So I'm confident that the rig will catch. I haven't changed the rig, I've just sharpened the hook slightly and coated it up. I want to catch fish on that rig.
Why? Why are you obsessing about that?
It's my own sort of combi rig that I've tied, you know, and I want to catch on it, you know. It's like, it's not an invention, but something that I've tied myself, and it's it looks so good in the water, you know.
Is this the first time you've kind of really used combi rigs? Is that what you're saying then, really?
Yeah, I've always dabbled with using them, but never caught on them. You know, I've always caught on the other rigs that I've tried, so I kind of just sort of go with that, but... It'd be nice to have another rig that is another option to use, definitely. You know. So, yeah, obviously it's not filling me with confidence right now, but...
Well, why don't you, like, because some people listen to this podcast, like, a lot of the people listening to this, you know, are fairly new to fishing. Why don't you explain what the purpose of a combi rig is? What is a combi rig? And why would you use a combi rig? I'm trying to put you on the spot here.
You can use the combi rig, hence the name combis, for combinations of reasons. You know, it fishes well on weed with a helicopter rig, or you can also fish it on gravel with a lead clip system.
But what is a combi rig for the people that don't know?
You've probably got 3 to 4 inches of boom section. Other brands are on the market. And then I have a little crimp at the end of that. So I have crimp at both ends with one little loop for tying the braid onto, and then the other loop is slightly bigger.
So you join the lines by crimping over tying?
No, I crimp the boom.
Yeah.
I crimp the boom, and then I tie... I've made it so I can quick change it.
Yeah.
So I've made a little loop in the braid, at the end of the braid, and then I've tied a normal... blowback rig, basically, on the end of that, right? And then I've done a loop. So I've looped through the boom, and then passed the hook back through, and so that I can quick change that hook if I need to, if I feel that I need a bigger hook or a crank or whatever. So the boom section gives it keeps it away from the lead,
kicks it right out.
And then obviously the braid at the end, it's a coated braid that I've stripped. And that just gives it that little supple bit of movement to, you know, I just like the idea of it.
Yeah, I like that.
I've caught so many fish on coated braid, stripped back, little bit at the end. So you've got that kind of, same kind of thing, really. You've got the coated part of the braid that pushes it away from the lead, and then you've got that supple bit at the end that you've stripped.
Helps drop it into the fish's mouth and they pick it up, because you're fishing a pop-up, is that right, wasn't it?
No, I'm not.
It was a bottom bait.
But I'm fishing the little topper bit of sweet corn, that really buoyant sweet corn.
It gives
corn.
It the buoyance.
So the boilie literally just sits off the hook. It's no more than that. Like,
so you're on a blowback rig, and you've got the boilie and you've got the pop-up. Did you see it was a blowback, yeah?
Is that one a blowback? Do you know what? Tell a lie. That one's not a blowback. That is a little, not a bait screw. It's where you put the bait floss through and tie it on like that.
Oh, so yeah. Yeah, like a normal, just a normal.
Yeah, so I've got a hook bead on there. And I've just got a little swivel.
Yeah, gotcha.
But the way it sits in the water just looks amazing. You know? And I obviously watching these underwater videos and that, they always seem to want to spook off a pop up. Do you know? And I just caught so many fish on bottom baits. So I've really been trying to get back onto the bottom baits, and you know, I know I've put a bit of pop up corn in there, but it's not popped up. It's literally just sitting flat on the deck. The sweet corn's upright. So it's I like the look of it. I think it would do well, but I'm yet to catch a fish on it.
I'm still literally thinking,
am I doing the right thing?
Exactly.
Obviously, the fish are here. You know, should I then just go with the old foul safe with the blowback or Ronnie and just try and...
Because the question left now is, why didn't it hook the carp then? If it's picked up the bait, why didn't the hook go in the fish's mouth? I mean, yeah. It could be a number of reasons. It might not be your fault. It depends on the fish might come in at a certain angle, pick the bait up funny. Who knows?
It could have been a tench.
Yeah.
It could have been a tench. It could have been. Just pick the boil up and not even pick the hook.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, exactly. It could be. Let's hope not. Let's pretend it's not that.
It was a 40-pound mirror, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's, it clearly was. Yeah. Obviously. I mean, yeah, without shadow. Maybe 45.
No, I want it to be a tench. Yeah, it was definitely a tench.
I was hoping for a bream, man.
Yeah. There's no bream in it.
Is there not?
No.
Good.
No. Well, yeah, you win some, you lose some.
Yeah, so, definitely.
Mate, I'm
you've got more confidence now,
and
it
buzzing that the spot is a. It could, like I said to you when I was when I found it, I just said to you straight away. I was like,
it feels great.
It feels good. Mm-hmm. I'm buzzing for this spot. Like,
which is good.
Yeah, and now I said to you, if I catch tonight, I want to be coming back Sunday.
And Sunday's tomorrow.
And tomorrow. So yeah, we'll.
We'll see how it unfolds tonight. We'll see how it unfolds and we should update you guys.
Hopefully we'll update you guys tomorrow with a 40 pounds
good
old English CV common.
Yeah, on my rods.
Yeah.
All right, I've got to leave this little segment here. Nice one, Niblet. Appreciate
Cheers,
that, buddy.
Mate. Thank you.
Right, it's 2 minutes past 11 and we decided to call it a night for now. Can only hope we get a run in the night now. Alex's middle rod did bleep again probably about half hour ago now. It's probably about 45 minutes ago now. So that guy was really excited thinking, all right, you know, that they're still there. He also put another couple of spots out on top of it. In fact, he put the couple of spots out before his rod was bleeping as well. So it clearly didn't spook anything off. So we think there's definitely fish in the vicinity there moving around. So really, really exciting and really, really buzzing for him. Obviously, I want to catch a carp, and I always say that, but, you know, if one of us catches a carp, then, you know, that's a win. That's a dub for us. So let's see what happens in the night.
Well, it's 7:32 in the morning, and no bleeps to report in the night for myself, and I'm yet to speak to Alex to see if he had any bleeps, but if he would have had a carp, he would have woken me up, so yeah. But you never know, he might have lost a carp. That's always a possibility, so that'd be awesome. Not that he's lost one, but if he's picked one up. But we'll find out when he wakes up. Damn it. Come on, the carp.
Well, I can confirm that not long after I left that segment, I had Alex walking up to my bivvy going, I've got one, Lee. I was like, what, you got one? He went, yeah, I've got one. I've got a coot. So, oh, a coot. Absolutely gutted. Out of both of us yesterday, today, I really thought Alex was going to be the one that would get one, but looks like it wasn't to be. Gutted. So we're packing up soon now. Just going to stay here for another half hour, see what happens. And then we'll be out of here. That's carp fishing for you.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is now the end of the podcast. Unfortunately, Alex and I did not catch a carp. The only thing we put on the bank was, well, the only thing Alex put on the bank was a coot, which he's definitely gutted about. Speaking on behalf of Alex, he's definitely keen to get back down into that swim he was in again. He wants to get back on that gravel patch, get some more bait in there and give it another go. So that will definitely be coming up, I would have thought, and maybe this week coming, but we'll see how it goes. So anyway, thank you so much once again for your love and your support. I really do appreciate you guys taking the time to listen to my podcast and write some lovely little private messages to me and all that. I really do appreciate it, guys. So if you do go fishing from now until my next podcast, tight lines, take care of yourself. Catch you in the next one.
If you're not done already, guys, you could do me a massive favour and hit me up on Instagram. Just search Quest Fishing Adventures. On there, I'm uploading some photos and some short videos. You can also ask me questions or give me some advice too. That'd be absolutely mega. Anyway, take care of yourself, guys, and tight lines, and see you in my next podcast.